السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I would like to welcome everybody in the room. I would like to welcome Professor McCain. I would like to welcome every person in the room of the Muslim. All of you are welcome over there. And I'm going to have a debate within a few minutes. Mr. McCain, we have just 10 minutes. So we can have more people in the room so we can start the debate if you don't mind. Do you mind? We have 10 minutes now. Just 10 minutes, not more. Just 10 minutes, we can have more people coming to the room. I would not think of everybody in the room is going to have a debate. The topic of the debate is to restriction, fact or fiction. Thank you very much. The topic is restriction, fact and fiction. I would like everybody in the room to invite his people in his dialect so everybody can benefit from the debate. And if you don't mind, let me talk in Arabic too. I will translate in Arabic so everybody can understand what I'm saying. إن شاء الله سأكون معنا المناظرة الآن المناظرة في موضوع موضوع هل اتجاه الصلب حقيقة أم خيال مع حضرة القس الأمريكي مكين إن شاء الله هيكون في ترجمة على القس إن شاء الله هل سأقول لك كل أبريداتي من دروين في does not speak Arabic, speak English. If anyone of you cable has the ability to debate a few topics, we can debate it to. Is Jesus God? Is the Bible word of God? Is there a fiction, fact or fiction? So if anyone of you would like to debate us in this, let us know. Let us know. Specifically, if someone has a knowledge in the Bible, like a priest, a preacher, has the issue in the divinity of Jesus Christ, or anything like that. Okay? If anyone of you interested in debating us on this topic, is Jesus God, is the Bible word of God, is crucifixion, fact or fiction, let us know, and we can arrange for another debate for another time. Okay? Okay? Alright? Inshallah we're going to start the debate within a few minutes. لو في واحد مسيحي بيتكلم لغة عربية بيتكلم عن القدرة والبنجيجي عنده قدرة على المناظرة في وجهة المسيح أو هنا الكتاب المقدس كتاب الله عقيدة الكتاب والصلب لو لنا احنا ممكن نعمل معاه إن شاء الله مناظرات إن شاء الله. عاوزين نعد في الإعلان. Anyone has done the name of the act of the debate right now? Okay. حط الإعلان ياخذ بالعربي. الإعلان ياخذ بالعربي. إن شاء الله نعمل إعلان ثاني. نعمله الآن. Just write down now, just right now. We're going to have a debate right now. We'll let you change the act. Give me 1 minute. I would like to change the act. So we'll have to draw the إعلان there. Okay, here you go. الإعلان هو يا أخوة عن عربي بهذا العربي كيف. Okay. أنا قلت I would like you to do it in English and change from within a few minutes right now. Leave you not now. Right now. Okay. So the date within 5 minutes إن شاء الله. Within 5 minutes. طيب أخينا 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 Richard McCain, as we agreed last time, we were talking about that I dare him to come to the debate now. I dare him there. If he does not come to the debate right now. Right, did you hear me? I'm asking anyone to debate me. Come, let him come over here and debate me. Let him come and debate me in front of the people over here. And maybe, any Christian, any one of you. Okay, أخي الكريم أسلم جمعات الجوز فانت جاء أسلم جمعات الجوز السلام عليكم ورحمة الله برادة جمس فنزي أليوهير فنزي يقول الزال أعلان لو سمحت يا أخوة يقول الزال أعلان کون جا رہے ہو کون بھی شب کوئی شرک ہو لاکھ لاکھ پرشن کر موجود پرشن کا ہے موجود لاکھوں کی موجود پلسٹن کی موجود سب رہتے ہیں.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حياك الله خير سام. حليت القصة، حليت القصة معاه لما كنت بعيد شوي. حليت القصة معاه بالنسبة لموضوع المناظرة. خير إن شاء الله. طيب. Also like to welcome everyone to the room إن شاء الله عز وجل. The Muslims and the Muslims alike. You're welcome in this room. The debate, as Mr. McCain already knows, has a certain structure, four segments. The first two segments are 15 minutes each, and again, please keep an eye on the text, because it will post the verses that you say the number or the chapter and the number of the verse. You will probably have to say the number of the verse twice for the brothers who are posting the text, so that they can post the text for you. Again, they will post the time in a countdown form, and please, when the time is over, please relinquish the mic to the other debater. I'm not going to take the mic from you and introduce the other debater. I'd rather you exchange mics when your time is up. Of course, inshallah, Mr. McCain. Sure, no problem. You can have the mic and introduce also yourself before we start. You can have a mic right now. We're not in the debate. Before the debate, you have 2 minutes to introduce yourself, also like you did in the first debate we had. And also the final segment is going to be 20 minutes. And the 20 minutes, you're going to conclude whatever you'd like to do. Afterwards, we're going to have 1 hour of questions and answers. Or something needs clarifying. No problem. Make sure to take the mic, Mr. McCain, and make sure that Brother Sam can hear you. Go ahead, Mr. McCain, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Fonzie. Yes, last Sunday, I raised the topic of justification by faith or works. And Mr. Wissam agreed to that. And then later, he said the topic would be the crucifixion, fact or fiction. And then I said to Mr. Wissam, I thought the topic was justification. And then he said to me, I could talk about whatever I wanted to talk about. So I have prepared a discussion on justification by faith or works. I haven't prepared at all for the topic of the crucifixion, fact or fiction. So could Mr. Wissam please, take the mic and maybe he remembers telling me I could speak about whatever I wanted to speak about.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Regarding the topic, yes, you said about justification through faith, I told you we're going to talk about crucifixion, and you can talk about anything you want. But about the justification through faith, it means through the blood of Jesus Christ. Or I am wrong. Say someone that Jesus died for us on the cross. Yes or no? Yes, they are related. That is the Sabbath. Absolutely. That is the Sabbath. Yes. So that is the Sabbath. No problem. Okay. أخوة كرام أخي يكون بكي حد من وقت المشي الإعلاني يا أخوة. Just let me say something in Arabic, please. We're talking about bringing more people in the room. So if you don't mind, I'm just saying in Arabic. Okay. الإخوة الكرام الإعلان أهو. الإعلان وجزاه الله يكرمكم. ونبدأ بعد 5 دقائق. We start in 5 minutes. I would like everybody to spread the ad everywhere. Everywhere, يا أخوة. Please. انشر الإعلان في كل مكان بارك الله فيك. وخاصة في القسم الإنجليزي يا ريت. القسم الإنجليزي. يا ريت عاوزين نعلم بالانجليزي كمان. اخي فونز ار يو هير؟ اوكي فونز افتر 5 مينتس اكزاكتلي ويل ستارت. مايك از يورز فونز.
ريدي ايفري ون؟ وي غانا ستارت ذا ديبيت رايت ناو. بليز مستر مكين يو هاف ذا مايك 2 مينتس انتروديوس يور سيلف براذر وسام افتر وورد اند ذن you exchange the mic, let Mr. McCain start about crucifixion. Go ahead, Mr. McCain.
Thank you, Fonzie. Thank you for this opportunity. I do think it's a wonderful opportunity to discuss the most important thing we could ever talk about, and that is the Bible. And so I look forward, and I'm excited about being able to share the Word of God with everyone in the room today. My name is Chris McCann, and I am a Christian. I'm a believer. I have no church association of any kind. I am not affiliated with any church. I am affiliated with a ministry, an internet ministry, E-Bible Fellowship, and also with Family Radio. And I think they're faithful ministries, and they're ones I would recommend to anyone. But I do, once again, thank you and appreciate this time. And may the Lord bless His Word to the ears of His people.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There is no God but Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And I bear witness that Jesus is God's slave and messenger. If the sound is good, please write one for me, please one for me, please. And I would like everybody in the room to welcome Richard Krishnachin. My name is Osama Abdullah. I am a Muslim. And I have the honor to discuss Christianity with Richard. Thank you very much, and let us start. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother Fonzi, are you here? Fonzi, are you here? So can you start, please? Fonzi. Brother Fonzi, are you here? Okay, take the mic, please.
Okay, very good. Thank you for this opportunity once again. And today, I would like to discuss with everyone the topic of justification. And justification has to do with getting right with God. How does a man or a woman become right in God's sight, where God looks at the person who we know is a sinner? All men have sinned. There's not one that has done good. The Bible says every one of us is a sinner, and because of our sin, we have fallen into a state of unrighteousness. Well, how then can we enter into heaven? How can we experience eternal life and receive the blessing of God? And that's what I would like to talk about today. Justification. This act of God in justifying a man. Excuse me one second.
Brother Fonzi, if you don't mind, can you tell him how to close his DM to be in do not disturb it, please, so nobody bother him, please? Go ahead.
Yes, I'm sorry. But let me just pick up where I was, and that is the topic of justification. And this is an extremely important topic, because we need to know what pleases God. What will God accept? What works will God be pleased with? And will He accept? And so the title of the topic is justification. By faith or by works? Is it our own works? Can we do something in order to please God? Is there some act of obedience we can perform that will cause God to be favorable to us? And you know, one common ingredient to just about every religion that's in the world, if not all religions, except the true faith of Christianity, is that religions have insisted that particular religion's adherents must perform certain good works. They must perform certain good deeds. They must do certain things. And if they do so often enough and faithfully enough and obediently enough, then that religion guarantees salvation. Well, what does the Bible teach on this topic? What does the Bible have to say? And we're very interested in that because the Bible is the Word of God. And the Bible answers these questions definitively. The Bible definitely lets us know how an individual can be just with God. There's no haziness. It's a very clear presentation throughout the Bible. And we read in Galatians chapter 2, and I'll read this verse, in Galatians chapter 2, and in verse 16, it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now this verse is placed, it's positioned by God in the context of a council being held in Jerusalem as Paul goes and there's a big discussion on the topic of whether the Gentiles should be circumcised as the Jews, because it was written in the law of Moses, God had commanded Abraham and his household to be circumcised. But now the New Testament churches were forming. Should they circumcise? Should they keep that particular law of Moses? And in this setting, the answer is no. And it says in verse 15, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. And the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of God, is indicating that the Gentiles do not need to keep the law in order to be just. And that's what a work of the law is. When the Bible talks about works, what is in view is obedience, an act of obedience to any of the commands of the Bible. A work is keeping the Sabbath day holy. A work is offering sacrifices according to God's command. A work is circumcision. All these are commandments of God. All these are works. And none of them have ever justified one individual. No human being, no man who is a sinner and guilty of transgressing the law of God has ever become justified in the sight of God by keeping the law. No one. Everyone is in a fallen state, fallen from grace. And God here is putting his finger on the problem. Israel, the Jewish people, they failed at this point. They were deceived. They thought because God gave them commandments to keep the Sabbath day holy and to offer sacrifices, that if they did it faithfully, if they performed an act of obedience, that was their justification. Well, that became a stumbling stone to them. That has never saved one Jew. And actually, as many Jews trusted in their works, it was to their condemnation, because a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. And I'll just finish this verse. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, God really couldn't expound it or say it any clearer. He made a point of emphasizing it three different times in this one verse. No individual can be saved by the works of the law, but an individual is saved by the faith of Christ, which we'll discuss a little later. We can talk about that a little later on, but right now let's look at some verses where this same teaching is pointed out in Romans chapter 4, and in verse 2, it says in verse I'll begin reading in verse 1 of Romans 4. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, now that's what we're interested in. That's what we're interested in. Abraham, that great man of God, that faithful man. He was a prophet that God greatly blessed, and in him all the nations of the earth would be blessed, we read in Genesis. Abraham was obedient to God when God told him to offer Isaac, his son, upon the altar, and yet none of Abraham's obedience, his acts of faith, could ever justify him. And so the implication in Romans 4:2, if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. You see, he cannot glory in anything he has done. Abraham was a sinner like any one of us, and he needed a Savior. He needed Christ to save him, and he needed to be justified by the faith of Christ, not by any act of obedience on his part. And so once again, we see that Galatians is supported by this verse in Romans. And also, let's go back to Galatians, to Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians 3, and I'll begin reading in verse 8. It says in the Scripture, and that would be the whole, the Word of God, in the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law, if you are of the works of the law, it says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. You see, there is a way, actually. This is how God presents it in the Bible. Yes, there is a way. There is a way that an individual can be justified by works. And that is if you keep the whole law completely, absolutely, perfectly. If you could, and it's not even conceivable, if we're honest, no man, no matter how self-deceived he might be in looking at himself and looking at his own heart, no man would dare to say, I would hope, that he could keep the law perfectly without spot, without sin, without error. I don't know anybody like that. And if you do, please introduce them to me. Well, I'd really like to meet someone who is so righteous and holy. I've never met a person like that. And if he did think he was keeping the law, well, then he must be very ignorant of the law, because God's laws are searching and deep. God's laws are not only outward, they are inward. Not only should we abstain from fornication outwardly, but the Bible indicates that even a thought, even a glance towards a woman lusting after her, is already the act of committing adultery with her. It is sin. It is transgressing the law. And so, yes, God lays it out and he says, okay, if you want to live by the law, if you want to obtain righteousness in my sight by keeping the law, ye must do so perfectly. You must keep all the laws of God, the Ten Commandments and all the rest of the Bible. You have to keep the Sabbath day holy. You have to do all the commandments in loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. Just right there would eliminate the human race. This is the condition God places on keeping the law. And that's why he says, because as God looks at mankind, he realizes none are able to perform the keeping of the law. None can do this. So he sums it up and he says that no man is justified by the works of the law. No man, no matter if it be the Pope, or if it be some holy man somewhere, or if it be a priest or a minister or a rabbi, or no matter who he is, no man, or an Elatola, no man is justified by the works of the law in God's sight. It is an impossibility. It is not even a blip on the screen. It's a total impossibility. But of course, there are some that think that they can. They think that they can, and yet they're very selective. They're very selective. They see certain laws that appeal to them, and so they think, well, I'll keep the Sabbath day holy, and I'll do this. If you're a Jew, I'll be circumcised, or if you're a Christian, I'll be baptized. And they think, I can do this act of obedience, and yet it's very selective, and it's not the whole law, and so there is no righteousness. There is no justification possible with keeping the law. Well then, if that's true, who then can be saved? Who then can become right in God's sight and just? Who then can be justified and enter into heaven? Well, you see, God first tells us the bad news before he tells us the wonderful news of how what is impossible with man is possible with God. Thank you, and I'll relinquish the mic now.
If you can memorize one, please. Tonight the topic about crucifixion, fact or fiction, and we're going to heaven by our deeds or by our faith only. From what I heard from Richard McCain, deeds is not count, and only we're going by our faith in Jesus Christ. I wish if Richard McCain just quote one verse, just one verse from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Jesus said and declared that we're going to heaven by faith in Jesus alone, without deeds, only faith without deeds. What I heard from him, actually, every verse he quotes, every single statement he quotes, from the mouth of St. Paul, is not Jesus Christ. Now, let's hear from Jesus Christ, what Jesus said and what Paul said. If you go to the book of John, chapter 5, verse 29. Jesus Christ talking about the last day, the day of judgment. The last day, the day of judgment. Marvel not at this, for the hour has come. Then said Jesus unto them, when you are, I'm sorry, forgive me. I written another one. Okay. And marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, the voice of Jesus Christ, the last day, the day of judgment, and shall come forth they that have done good into the resurrection of life. Listen, pay attention. In the last day, in the day of judgment, everybody will have the account for what he did in his life on earth. His deeds, his action in us, not his faith, again, shall come forth. They that have done good into the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil into the resurrection of damnation. Now it's very clear. Very clear from the mouth of Jesus Christ, the last day, the day of judgment, everybody will have the account according to what he did in earth, according to his deeds, according to his deeds. Again, and they that have done evil into the resurrection of damnation, and they that have done good into the resurrection of life. That's why, as I'm telling you, from my reading to the Bible, I found out we have in the Bible two religions, the religion of St. Paul and the religion of Jesus Christ. Jesus said something and St. Paul said the opposite. Jesus said, the only way to heaven through deeds, through action, but Paul said through only faith. Now, Jesus also said, look over him in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 17. Do not think I'm coming to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not coming to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus said it very clear. He's not coming to destroy the law, to destroy the Old Testament or the books of the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, pay attention to me, Jesus. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. You cannot delete one sentence, one sentence, one dot, one jot from the Old Testament. You cannot ask to it, you can delete from it. And whosoever the letter shall break one of the three commandments and shall teach man so, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And I'm saying to every Christian in the room, this is a prophecy about Paul. Because St. Paul said, abolish the law. But whoever shall go and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, for I say unto you that except you righteous, what is righteousness? You did good deeds, your actions shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have to exceed the deeds, the actions. You have to be more righteous than them, than you, than the scholar of the Jews, so you can enter heaven. Look at that. Jesus Christ himself. So Jesus telling us in plain English, the only way to have it is by doing good in your life in earth. Good deeds, good action. This is the religion of Jesus Christ. What is the religion of St. Paul? It's completely different religion. Listen over this. Now, in the book of Rome, chapter 3, verse 24, 324 Rome, it says, begin to justify clearly by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Very clear. Now, Paul said, we're going to heaven only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Begin to justify clearly. Really, it means it's clear. No deeds, no action at all. Only believe in Jesus Christ. That's it. Only believe Jesus died for you. That's it. Only believe that Jesus died for your son. You can be anything you want. You can be a drug dealer. You can be a killer. You can rape anybody. But if you believe that Jesus died for your son, you don't to have it. Because it is a free ticket to heaven. It's free. It's free for everybody. Do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. You're not accountable for your action. You don't to heaven because you believe Jesus Christ died for your sin. Is this missing for anybody? Is this fair? Some good man doing good things can be in the same place with a man, a bad man, a killer who just believes in Jesus Christ. Our Christianity, our control, telling to us that Hitler, the one who says 6 million Jews, he's going to heaven. Why? Because he believes Jesus is his Savior. Because he believes Jesus died for his sin. Because he believes in crucifixion. Then Hitler, who killed 6 million Jews, going to heaven. Why? Because St. Paul is saying, it's free. It's free ticket. You have to do nothing, absolutely nothing. Let me say it again. Begin justified crazy by his grace through the redemption That faith in Jesus, Christ in Jesus. Now I would like everybody to listen very attention to me. Now, some people question us that if you believe that Jesus died for your sin, you're going to heaven. No matter what you do in your life. No matter what you do, you can be anything you want. You can be a killer, a rapist, anything. It's a free ticket to heaven. Okay. But Jesus said, more than not, for the hour is coming, and we will do good deeds on the right hand down to heaven. Read John chapter 5, verse 28, 29. And we will do that in which they are going to divination. And some temples, they that have done good, done action, deeds unto the direction of life. And they that have done evil into the direction of divination. Very clear. It's very clear. Action, deeds, words. You have to do words. It's not three. It's not three seconds. Same thing, the same ask again in the first letter of Agathis, chapter 2, verse 8, Agathis 2, 8, 2, 9. For by the grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the grace of God, yes. It is grace. It's not that you work, it's not that you deeds, it's not that your actions. Okay? Not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of your works, lest any man should boast. Not of your works, lest any man should boast. Now, I would like to listen to what Jesus said again. Let's go back to what Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 5, verse 28. Jesus said, more than not, as this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear this and shall come forth. They that have done good, if you did good in the wilderness, enter the resurrection of life, you're going to heaven. You're going to have eternal life, everlasting life, if you did good in the earth. If you have good deeds, good works, and they that have done evil, enter the resurrection of the nation. I would like everybody to pay attention and bear witness and compare what I said and what Richard McCain said. I'm quoting every single verse from the mouth of Jesus Christ. And Richard McCain, every single verse, he said it from the mouth of St. Paul. Jesus never said that. It's not the word of Jesus Christ. Jesus never said you're going to heaven through faith, not deeds. It's not the word of Jesus Christ. Now, the preacher tells us that there is nobody perfect. Nobody perfect. No one perfect. Everyone is a sinner. No, that's not true. I am a perfect man. And the book of God, chapter 1, verse 8, John 1, 8. God Almighty Himself testifies for Job. What God said about Job? Ayub 1:8. He says, and the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is no like unto him, absolutely none, in the earth. A perfect, what does it mean of perfect? Perfect. It means sinless, flawless, perfect. A perfect, a bright man. And that fears God and do not believe it. Again, and the book of Job, 2:3, that again testifies for him. And says, and the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is no like him. In the earth, a present man and a bright man, one that fears us. Same story again. Now, in Luke, chapter 1, verse 5, Luke and 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah. Listen to this, Zechariah.
of the court of India, unemployed was of the Tura of Arab. And her name was Lazarus. And then they both righteous before God. Not sinners, righteous, not sinners, walking in all the commandments and ordains of the Lord, blameless, sinless, perfect, not sinners. This is the word of St. Paul, it's not the word of Jesus Christ. Yes, again. And they were both righteous before God, walking in the own commandments and ordinances of the Lord. Blameless. Now, I'm going to give you the mic back, and I would like to read a sentence, one verse, from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, we're going to heaven, you're going to have eternal life. Not through deeds, but only through the faith of me, that I died for your sin. Read this in the Bible. Give me one verse, one statement from the Jesus Christ. Jesus said or told the people that you're going to heaven through his blood, not through his action, not through your action or deeds in life and earth. What he just put for 15 minutes is not the word of Jesus Christ, it's the word of St. Paul. And I can debate, you read it today, is the religion of Paul, is the religion of Jesus Christ? I don't think so. They are two different religions. Jesus said, you don't have it by action, by good deeds, and St. Paul said, only by faith, no action. Might is your God.
Okay, thank you very much. I look forward to sharing with everyone for the next 15 minutes. And I would like to discuss some of the points that Mr. Wissam was making. Now first, again and again, Mr. Wissam makes a distinction between the words of St. Paul, as he puts it, and the words of Jesus Christ. But the Bible makes no such distinction. Of course, when an individual is speaking, the Bible lets us know who is speaking. But the Bible teaches that the whole Word, that all the Scriptures from Genesis through Revelation are one whole. They are not divided. They are not cut into pieces. We do not have the Word of one over here and the Word of another. Over there, we have the Word of God throughout. And I would ask Mr. Wissam this question, since he is very familiar with the writings of St. Paul. I would ask Mr. Wissam, who wrote the epistle to the Romans? Who wrote the epistle to the Romans? Now, of course, everyone would quickly jump and say, Paul wrote the epistle to the Romans. Paul wrote it. It is his writing. And it is primarily, even though the other epistles also come into view, but primarily the epistle to the Romans that is such a brilliant writing that many have lifted Paul up and exalted him as a brilliant mind because he has written this particular epistle. However, the Bible does not say that Paul wrote the epistle to the Romans. In Romans chapter 16, and in verse 22, we read there, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. I, Tertius. Now, who is he? Who's Tertius? I never heard of him before. How can it be said that he wrote the epistle to the Romans? Well, it says it here. It says it. Oh, come on. That's not fair. That's not accurate. Tertius was a scribe. Tertius was not the mind behind the epistle to the Romans. He was dictated to. Paul wrote it. Paul had some eyesight problems, and so he could not personally take the pen to hand and write it down. And so he had his friend Tertius write the actual words down as he dictated to it. And rightly so, that is true, we say Paul wrote Romans. Now, if you're going to recognize that and give no credit to Tertius for the writing of Romans, you must also give credit to where credit is due, and that is that God wrote the Bible, not Paul, not Moses, not these others. Well, yes, Paul was moved by the Holy Ghost, as holy men of God were moved, so to record the revelation, the scriptures, but God directed Paul exactly as Paul directed Tertius. God directed Moses exactly as Paul directed Tertius. You see, we cannot give the credit to the scribe. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so it carries no weight whatsoever to pick and choose verses and according to author and say, well, now this is the word of God and this is not. No, absolutely not. This is the Bible. This is the complete revelation of God, and anything we read in it is the Word of God. Now, it's true. It's true that sometimes we seem to read contradictory things, and that's why certain individuals get the idea, well, certain portions are not correct. But actually, it's a test of God. God has written the Bible in this manner, in order that those who come to the Bible proudly and arrogantly and come to the Word of God as though they are the brilliant theologian and mind that is going to give all the answers, any who come like that, God resists. And so they quickly fail and fall into the trap and snare of how God has written the Bible, and they do not come to truth. But when we come humbly, when we come in submission to the Bible as the Word of God, and we read seemingly contradictory things, we pray for wisdom, and we say, God, at this point, I don't know how to understand it, but I know that there is an answer, and if there's any seeming discrepancy, it's on my part. I lack understanding. I'm not adequate. My mind is finite and you are infinite. I just need your help. And we pray for God to give us wisdom. Now, Mr. Wiesan quoted John 5:28 and 29. And in that verse, and I'll turn there, it says that they that have done good, well, let me get there first. It says in verse 29, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. You see, what is not stated here, but is stated in other places, is that after we become saved, after God gives us a new heart and a new spirit, He places a desire in us to keep His commandments and an ability to perform the doing of it. But that's after salvation, after we've been justified by faith. It has nothing to do with obtaining salvation and becoming saved. It is the result of salvation. And so, yes, on the last day, there will be those that have done good or who have been made perfect. Well, how could God say Job is perfect? How could God say Job is perfect? Do we misread it? Because God says in Romans 3, there is none good, no, not one. God says in Genesis 6, He looked out at the hearts of men and saw only evil continually. God says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart of man is deceitful. And God says in Job, chapter 14, the same Job that was quoted in chapter 1, in verse 4, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. The same word, the same Bible, even the same book, said, and a clean cannot come from an unclean. Job's parents were not perfect. They were not clean. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, Job is recognizing he is not clean because he came from unclean parents. And when Job says, or when God says of Job that he is perfect and upright, that's what happens after God saves a sinner. We receive a new heart and spirit whereby, since all of our sins are forgiven, washed away, we are cleansed, we are made anew, we are perceived by God as though we had not sinned. We are perceived as a lovely virgin who is without transgression. We are clean and upright and clothed with white robes. All this is the language of the Bible. There's no contradiction. There's a failure to dig deeper into the Bible. There's a failure on many's part to casually read the Bible and think they have figured it all out when they haven't figured it out. Actually, they haven't done their homework at all. Now, let's see what else Mr. Weisam was talking about. The whole idea that in Romans chapter 3, and let's go there, Romans 3 and verse 24, it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Well, let me read the verse before that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so that's why we need a Savior. We need to be justified somehow. And this tells us how? By his grace. And as Mr. Weisam read in Ephesians 2, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, does this mean that there could be a person who's trying their best to live a holy life? They're trying to keep the law. They're trying to do good works. They're trying so hard to be obedient to God, even though, if they're honest, they have to admit they're not doing it perfectly. No way. If they have any kind of honesty in them, they'd have to say, oh, I had an unfaithful thought. I performed an unfaithful deed. I spoke a lie, etc. But they're trying their best. And does it mean that there's an individual who tries his best, and yet since he did not keep the whole law, as Galatians 3 told us, you have to do the whole law, and if you don't, you're failing to be perfect, and you'll end up under the judgment of God. And such a holy man will end up in hell, whereas on the other hand, here's a drunk, here's an adulterer, here's a thief, and the Bible speaks of a thief on the cross, doesn't it? A thief on the cross next to Jesus, who was nothing but a dirty, rotten, lousy sinner. He lived his life that way. What good deeds did he do? If you want the words of Christ, what good works did he do in order to be justified by God? He did absolutely nothing. Nothing. And Jesus told him, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And that is the justification by the faith of Christ. That man did no work of any kind. And yet, God saved him. God justified him. And that's how God operates. I'm sorry if you think it's unfair. I'm sorry if you think that God is unjust, but, you know, God addresses that in Romans chapter 9, where it says in verse 10, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Of works. Now we know the situation. This is Jacob and Esau. Before they're born, before either one had done anything, good or evil, they'd not broken the law, they've not kept the law. God says in verse 12, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, is that fair? Is that fair? Well, you see, both are sinners. None is righteous, no, not one. None is good. None will seek after God. So God must choose the people for himself, and he elects Jacob to salvation from before the foundation of the world, based upon the fact that Jesus will come and enter into the human race and die for Jacob. Jacob is loved. Jesus never died for Esau, so Esau is hated. And that is the basis of justification. It has absolutely nothing to do with good deeds or works. Thank you for this time.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I think it's clear right now, he admitted there is some kind of contradiction between the teaching of Jesus Christ and the teaching of St. Paul. But he claimed that's okay, because the teaching is the teaching of God Almighty. So this is okay. I mean, Jesus Christ teach us we go to heaven through good deeds, through actions, as I read before in the book of John, chapter 5, verse 28-29. Mark him up at this, for the hour is coming. And the rich or that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good into the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil into the resurrection of damnation. Now from the mouth of Jesus Christ, I ask him, just give me one verse, one statement from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Jesus claimed, Jesus said, you go into heaven through my blood, through faith only, without good deeds, without works on life and your life on earth. There is not absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And with all respect to him, he does not care. He said every word in the Bible is the word of God. It doesn't matter if Jesus did not say that, but some Paul said that. But if some Paul said that, this what he said is contradictory to what Jesus said. Compared to what Jesus said something, and some Paul says something else. Cannot be the same religion. It cannot be. It cannot be the same religion. It cannot be. See, again, let's hear what some Paul said, say again, in the book of Rome, chapter 3, 24, Rome 3, 24. Begin to justify clearly by his grace, through the redemption that it is in Jesus Christ, very clear from the mouth of Saint Paul. No actors, no workers, only by faith alone. Now, again, in the first Corinthians chapter 7, verse 25, now concerning Berger, I'm sorry, forgive me. No, I'm not saying that. Rome 3:25. When God offered as a grace, where a covenant tries to God to appeal through faith, only faith, no action, no deeds, absolutely nothing, only faith alone. Again in Rome, chapter 3:28, for we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from his works.
No good deeds. No acts, holy acts. Again, in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 8, for by such grace you have been saved through faith. This does not come from you. It is a gift of God. And not the letter of worship, lest in one book. That's what St. Paul says. That we go to heaven only through faith, no deeds, no action, no works. But this is not the religion of Jesus Christ. And I have to read it again, more and more again. John chapter 5:28, Mark and Mark, as this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the age shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have them God, unto the resurrection of life. You be good on earth, you're going to have eternal life. Have nothing to do with faith. And that have done evil, by deeds, until the resurrection of the nation. Now I would like to add something else. In the book of James, the brother of Jesus Christ, James, it's very interesting over here, James, chapter 2, verse 14. James 2, 14. Let me read this. What does a prophet, my brother, through a man that he has faith, can have not worked, can faith save him? Can faith save him? Can faith save him? No, he cannot save him. He cannot. He cannot. You see, we have a big problem now. This was the teaching of St. Paul. St. Paul said, faith alone, no deeds, not good workers. Here, James, the brother of Jesus, wondered, can faith save you? Only faith? No, cannot. It has to be worked with faith. What that is prophet, my brother. You, a man say he has faith, can have not workers. He has no workers, only faith. Can faith save them? Cannot save them. He cannot. Very good statement of James, the brother of Jesus Christ. He cannot. It has to be good deeds. It has to be good works, not faith alone. But some folk, no deeds at all. No works at all, absolutely none. Again, let me read it again for you. Let me read it again, very clear. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8. For by the grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. It's good. You cannot do anything about it. If you have faith, without work, you're going to heaven. No. Verse 9. Not of workers, lest any man should boast. Not of workers, lest any man should boast. Compare this with James 2:14. Can faith save them without workers? No, cannot. And now, let me read. James 2:17. James 2:17. Even so, faith, if it has not workers, is just beginning alone. You see, again, even so, faith, if it has not worked without workers, is just faith without workers, is this. Now the teaching of St. Paul, that you're bound to heaven only by faith alone. No workers. Let me read this again. Even a minute time. Again. Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 9. Not of workers. Lest any man should boast. That is not the teaching of Jesus Christ. It is not the teaching of James, the brother of Jesus Christ. His faith, even full of faith. If it had no workers, it did, then it's alone. But now, I will tell you this to you, Richard, Matthew. You're going to take the mic, and you're going to tell us how you should pray to God Almighty to clear this statement for you, because maybe you cannot understand it. It appears to be contradiction. But, as you said, you cannot explain it, but you have to pray to God to explain to us about this. But explanation is not a proof. You have to give me a proof. Now, it's very clear, statement, very clear, from the mouth of Jesus Christ and from the mouth of James, the brother of Jesus Christ, who down to heaven through works. Faith without works is dead. A standpoint said no. Faith alone without works. You have two religions in the Bible. The religion of Jesus Christ and his brother James and the religion of St. James. And I would like to ask, let's debate with you about this topic. If the religion of St. James is the same religion of Jesus Christ, I do not think so. Yes. When you talk about God, you said, no, you don't understand. God talked about him after that union after the death of Jesus Christ. It's not true. These are not true the death of Jesus Christ. This is in the Old Testament, and God Almighty testified about God. I'm going to read it again. You, God, and Sanford, God, everybody is sinner. Nobody is not sinner. Every single one. But this is not true. This is not biblical, biblical fact. Okay. Job. Chapter 1, verse 8, Job 1, 8. And the Lord said to Satan, God Almighty, this is the testimony of God. God Himself. God Himself. He said He's not a sinner. And He told Samuel, said, God Himself. And the Lord said to Satan, as you consider my servant Job, that there is no like him on earth, a perfect, what does it mean? Think it in your language. Diamond, what is it in your language? Please tell me, language. A perfect man, an upright man. Upright is not a sinner. One that fears God, and do not commit evil. What does it mean? How can he be a sinner? And where do you get this word after Jesus' crucifixion? Where do you get this from? This is the Old Testament, not in the New Testament. What are you talking about? What you are talking about? Now, same thing about Zechariah and his wife Lazarus. The Bible said about this. And the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 6, Luke 1, 6. And they were both righteous. The fire and the word levels, righteous before God, and walk in all commandments, walk in all commandments, and ordains of the law, blameless. In your English language, what blameless means? Blameless, sinless, without any sin. Now, also Job said in the book of Job, 33:9, Job 33:9. I am clean without a sin. I am clean without a sin. The man said he's without a sin, and God said about him, he's without a sin. No sin, I am innocent. Without consideration. He said about himself, and God almost said about him. Now, you see, Stanford, the new religion, the new teaching, he thinks that the only way salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're bound to heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the only way to heaven, by His blood. Okay. Where do you get this from? Where do you get this from? Now, if you read in the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 22, Hebrews 9, 22, it says, and almost all things are by the law. There is no blood. All things, all things. And without changing of the blood, there is no remission. Listen, without changing of the blood, there is no remission. Without changing of the blood, there is no remission. Now, so, Montanville said that the only way to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the only way to heaven. I would like to ask you a question and be honest. Let me speak to you. The letter of Hebrews, who is the author, who is the writer of the letter of Hebrews? I would like to know. And second, when my time comes again, I will speak in details about this verse. Christianity, the whole religion, depends on this verse. That the only way to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Which, without shedding of the blood, there is no remission. That's why St. Paul said, it is only by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is perished that Jesus died for our sins on the cross. Not with workers, not deeds, not action, not workers, only by belief that Jesus died for us on the cross. He shed his blood for us on the cross. I will give them my back, wearing the blood of Jesus Christ, said the only way to heaven, by I will shed my blood on the cross. Also, I would like you also give me one statement from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Jesus telling me that you don't have it only by faith, not deeds, only faith, not deeds. Third, I would like you to tell me who is the author of the book of this. Mike is your story. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you once again. I continue to be grateful to the Lord. This possibility to speak to everyone here is a blessing when we can read from the Bible. Now, Mr. Lee Sam, again, has made statements that there are contradictions, but he is not recognizing that I said seeming contradictions. That is, from our perspective as tiny, finite individuals with, in comparison to God, peanut-sized brains. As we come to the Bible, we have a very limited, extremely limited perspective of things, especially as we are reading the Word of God. God, who is infinite and almighty, and He is way, way above any ability we possess to think. And so, yes, we can read things in the Bible at first glance that we do not understand, or that seems on our part to be a contradiction. But what this means is, now it's a cue for us to get out our Bibles and concordances and pen and paper and study. How could both scriptures be correct and true? We know they are, and that's when we begin to study. Now, it's true. It's true. The Bible says we're saved by faith. But let me go back to that verse in Galatians 2 I read earlier in verse 16. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. It's not stating the faith in Christ. You know, many teach today that the way to become justified is to believe. And that's the way the gospel's presented. It's delivered to people. All right, here's the gospel, now it's up to you, now you must believe. But you see, if God has commanded people to believe, and He has, there are commandments like that in the Bible, and if someone were to believe, what is that? Well, remission is an act of obedience to the law or commandment of God. And therefore, to say, well, I believe and now I'm justified, is nothing more than another work. In other words, it cannot save us. Individual man, and I know in saying this that a vast majority of Christendom, of professing Christians, come into condemnation. The truth is, of hundreds of millions of professing Christians, that multitudes of them are not truly Christians in heart. They've not truly become born again. And they are just as unsaved as anyone else in the world, because We are justified by the faith of Christ. Jesus had to elect us and die for us. He had to perform the work necessary to save us, because there's no other way we could become saved. We're dead in sin, and we can do nothing to save ourselves. Well, let's go to James chapter 2. And I was very pleased to see that Mr. Wissam brought up this chapter in the book of James, the Epistle of James, and Mr. Wissam recognized that James is not part of the writings of Paul, which he seems to so despise. I would dare never to make any kind of distinction of any writing of Scripture. It's all the Word of God, and so is James the Word of God. Well, here we have statements, and you are correct, and many renowned theologians of the Christian Church throughout the centuries have struggled in trying to understand how can James make statements such as you read, and let me read it. It says in verse 17, even though faith, if it hath not worked, is dead, being alone. Or also, verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Look at verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Well, how contradictory can you get? Romans 4 verse 2, we read earlier, that said, if Abraham be justified by works, he has whereof the glory, but not before God. Galatians 2:16 says, a man is not justified by works. Now, here is a crossroad. Here is a test. God has placed this here, and I'll explain it to you. I'll give you the answer to this riddle, to this puzzle, and God has written the Bible in this way. But before I do, let's think about this. God has placed this here so certain individuals, in their pride, in their conceit and arrogance, in daring to place themselves above the Word of God and to assume the Bible has errors and mistakes, they will quickly, way too quickly, because they're not studying it out, they will quickly come to the conclusion the Bible is untrustworthy. The Bible has errors. And God wrote the Bible in that manner so that if a person wanted to go another way, well, go ahead, go on. You're not one of God's elect. Go ahead. And you'll certainly end up on that day standing before a wrathful, angry God who will cast you into hell, because the Bible is the only hope for mankind. And Christ is the only possible Savior for mankind. And so God has written the Bible in such a way. Now, what is the answer? Well, the answer is that there are works that must be behind our profession. That is what we say with our mouth. As I said earlier, we have hundreds of millions of people who say with their lips, I am a Christian. However, that number is way off. Out of kilter, way off as far as true Christians, as far as the ones that God is truly dealing with. And we can know them by their works. We know them by their gospels. We know them by how they are unfaithful to the Word of God, the Bible. And they add or subtract from the Bible. They have not the true gospel that can save. And yet they say, though, I am a Christian. I believe in Jesus. That is their mouth. But where is their works? Well, they might give of their money. They might spend time witnessing the gospel. Maybe they go on mission trips. I don't know. But that's not the works in view in James chapter 2. You see, Jesus performed the works necessary for salvation. Jesus took the sins of his people upon himself and bore the sins of his people in his own body on the tree. Jesus was obedient perfectly to the will of the Father. Jesus then suffered and died. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus went through the fires of hell to die for his people's sins. What tremendous works were these? What glorious works that glorified God were these? These are the works that James 2 is speaking of. If you say you have faith, but Jesus did not elect you as one of his, you are not his people, you're just someone who joined up, you don't know what it is to be born again, you don't know what it is to have God give you a new heart, well, then you do not have the work of Christ. And so your faith, your profession with your mouth is worthless. 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 Absolutely worthless. How can that be? Well, let's go to Matthew 7. In Matthew 7, and this is Jesus speaking in verse 22, and he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? See, God doesn't care. He's not interested in what works dirty, rotten sinners can perform. Isaiah 64 tells us all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. God doesn't care how obedient we are, to what degree, in one sense. Of course, in another sense, he does. But as far as salvation, it matters not. It matters not, because it cannot save us. And these people are amazed. They're astounded. They can't believe it. They're before Christ on the day of judgment, and they're pleading the fact that they have done good works, and yet it has not saved them. It has not brought them justification. It has not made them righteous in God's sight. Jesus says in verse 23, for I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You see, there was no work of the Lord Jesus Christ on their behalf. Jesus did not do the necessary work in saving them. Where no man is justified by works, but we are justified by the faith of Christ. And James 2 emphasized that. Well, what about Abraham? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? How could Jesus have justified Abraham? How could the work of Christ on the cross have justified Job, as I said earlier, or Abraham, or Noah, or any of the Old Testament believers? And you know, it says of Noah, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Those words that Mr. Weedsum despises to hear, or is very sad to hear. He likes the idea of works. Well, I tell you, grace is a beautiful sounding word to me. The fact that God is not looking at my deeds, but he's looking at what Christ has done. And he is imputing the Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness to me is wonderful and beautiful. Well, Abraham, you see, was justified by the work of Christ at the time he was offering his son Isaac upon the altar. In other words, Abraham was saved. That's all that verse is saying. Abraham was a child of God. In Ephesians 1, verse 4, it says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You see, the God has made choice before the foundation of the world. And in Revelation 13, in verse 8, in the last part of the verse, it says, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. In principle, Christ has been slain from everlasting, before the world was even created. So his blood has efficacy. It can be imputed to David, to Abraham, to Job, to Lot, to Daniel, etc., to all the children of God throughout all ages. There's no discrepancy.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you can humble us one grace. Of course it's grace. Of course it's grace. You see, you try to put shame on it. You try to put shame on it. But there is a clear contradiction to everyone. Every single one. I'm going to read the verses again, and I will bless everyone in the room, Muslim or Christian. Pay attention and judge yourself. Yourself the judge. Open the Bible and read with me. Okay. Again. In the book of Rome, chapter 3, that cool part, it says, whom God over as a place where atonement by Christ's blood could occur through faith, faith alone, without works. In the book of Rome, chapter 3, verse 24, it says, did you the spike freely by his grace through the redemption that it is in Jesus Christ, only redemption by Jesus Christ. Faith alone. Jesus died for the cross for us. It's a gift. No works, no deeds, no action. Listen to me. Rome, chapter 3, verse 28, the record. We conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Without the deeds, without the deeds. There is no deeds, there is no action, there is no work, absolutely not. Again, Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8, Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the grace of God. No works, no deeds, absolutely none. Listen. Not of works, not of works. Lest any man should boast, not of works. Lest any man should boast, not of works. Lest any man should boast. No works, no deeds. Great. Now, I would like to hear from the mouth of Jesus Christ and his brother James, what he said. Now, James said in the book of James, chapter 2:14, James 2:14, it says, what does it do? My brethren, if someone of faith cannot, I'm sorry, forgive me. What good does it do, my brother, if someone claims to have faith but does not have any works? If someone claims to have faith but does not have any works, this kind of faith cannot save him. Cannot save him. Is it sound is good? Can you hear me? It's very clear. Faith cannot save you. Faith without works cannot save you. Again. What good does it to you, my brothers? If someone claims to have faith but does not have any works, this kind of faith cannot save him. Cannot save him. Scream. There is three cuts in the diction. The two words contradict each other. Absolutely. Paul says again, is working without, faith without deeds, so nobody works. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Very clear. It's very clear. Which one is the best? Now, listen to this. Jesus Christ, what Jesus said. In the book of Matthew chapter 5:20, Matthew 5:20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You will not enter. Your good deeds, your works, righteousness must exceed the righteousness of who? The scribes of the Jews. You have to have good works. Not say salah. Matthew chapter 7, verse 2, Matthew 7, 2. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Everybody will raise that count, what is it in your righteousness? But with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. It shall be measured to you again. What you did in your righteousness? You actually did the good works. That's the teaching of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. And God went to him and said unto him, to Jesus Christ, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why call you God good? There is no good but one, he is God. But if thou wilt enter into the life, you want to go to heaven? You want to have eternal life? What do you have to do? What do you have to do? What do you have to do? Keep the commandments. Good works, good deeds. Luke chapter 20:25. And the other certain Lord stood up and tempted to him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What do I have to do? I want to go to heaven. What I have to do? He said unto him, What it is written in the law? How it is that? And he answered him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbors as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do. And thou shalt learn action and faith, good deeds, good works, not only faith. Now, in the book of John, chapter 5, listen, I'm quoting everything from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Everything so far. And he quoted only from the mouth of who? St. Paul, two different religions. One by works and one by faith alone without works. Now, in John 5:28, more than not, as this, for the hour is coming, and the much, for that hour in the grace, shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, very clear, Wallah, I swear by God Almighty, it's clear, who done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil enter the resurrection of damnation. Everybody according to his action in earth. It's true. Now, listen to this. To prepare for the task, I would like all the Christians to prepare for the task. Just really, to prepare for the task. Jesus said, and the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 27, 16, 27. For the Son of Man, King Jesus Christ, shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Who does that? Jesus Christ, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. This is the spirit statement from Jesus Christ, the one who took him as your Lord and as your Savior, saying that in that day, in the day of judgment, everybody will judge according to his deeds, what he did in God in earth. And listen, this is the last what Paul too will take miracles again. And the book of Matthew, Ephesus, chapter 2, verse 8, Ephesus 2, 8, for by the grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the grace of God, not of works, not of works. Listen, listen, Jesus said, and then we shall reward everybody according to his works. Jesus said that, what Paul said, not of works, not of works. Let me mention this. Which is correct? I said the statement of Jesus Christ is correct? No, St. Paul. No. There is a clear cut contradiction. There is contrast between these two statements. Yes or no? Yes, you admit it, but you cannot explain it. Every time you think the mighty admit it, but you cannot explain it. Absolutely. Now, as I said before, why the religion of St. Paul focus on the blood of Jesus Christ? Why? Why? Why are you focusing that? In the book of Paul, chapter 3:25, whom God offered as a great atonement by Christ to God, God appeared through faith. Why? Why? Because this is the teaching of St. Paul. I am saying to every Christian in the room, the resurrection is a story made up by St. Paul. That's why he tells everybody, you want to go to heaven, you have to let the Jesus offer his blood for atonement on your sin. And this is not true. When you find out the same things in the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, honors, agree, and admit that the author of the letter of Hebrews is unknown. The author is unknown. And nobody knows it, folks. Nobody. Why is it not? Is it sounds good? Why is it not? I asked him very clear question. I told him, the author of the book of Hebrews, it is not regarded. Why? Because every Christian church agrees that the author is unknown. Second, the author has said in chapter 9:22, and owns all things by the Lord, judges with blood, and without shedding of the blood, there is no remission. First, the author is unknown. Second is the lie. It's a big, fat lie. What? It is a clear contradiction of the book of Leviticus, chapter 5:11. Leviticus 5:11. It says, that faith, he be not able to bring two turtles, doves, or two young pigeons, then he, that thing shall bring for his offering the tenth part of an ear of fine flour for a sin offering, a sin offering. Listen, he said, without blood there is no remission. But there is a remission by what? By just offering. Offering only flour. He shall put no oil upon it, neither he shall be both on the frankincense thereon, but if he has sin offering, then shall he bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take his handful of it, even a memorial thereof, and burn it on the altar, according to the offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a sin offering, a sin offering. So the sin can be removed by just over flesh. Second, the sin also can be removed by offering money. In the book of Exodus, chapter 30, verse 15, it says, the righteous shall not give more. If you can remember in 20 minutes, I don't see this. The righteous shall not give more, and the Lord shall not give less. Then you have a sheep, when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for yourselves. not in the town. And Gershon took that tournament money of the children of Israel and set up on it for the service of the tribulations of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord. To make a tournament for your souls. To make a tournament for your souls. Okay, the time is finished. My good friends, I can believe this next time. You have 20 minutes right now, the next temperance.
Okay, very good, thank you. And I appreciate, let me say this, appreciate very much the opportunity that this room has presented me in being able to share the gospel with everyone in the room. And Mr. Wissam has continued to make statements indicating that there is contradiction, and yes, seeming contradiction means there is appearance of, but there is no real contradiction, and that's where study comes in. And I would encourage all of us to study the Bible more. The Bible is a very deep and rich book that we can never plumb the depths of the knowledge of God. And so we need to do more study. Now, I have given explanation that harmonizes these statements. For instance, in Romans 4:2, it indicates there's an implication that Abraham is not justified by works. And in James 2:21, there is a statement that says he is justified by works. The answer, the solution to finding harmony, and once we find harmony, then we have come to truth. Then we can say, well, this is the teaching of the Bible. The answer is that Abraham was never justified by the act of circumcision. Abraham was never justified by faithfully obeying God in taking Isaac, his son, to offer him as a sacrifice. Abraham was never justified by any of his own personal works. Never. No man ever has been. But on the other hand, there was an individual who performed the necessary work to justify sinners, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So when Abraham offered Isaac his son, it says, the question is presented, was not Abraham justified by works? The answer is yes, by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have taken a snapshot out of history, and he picked a particularly dramatic scene where Abraham is called upon to offer his son that he has waited so long for, the son of his old age. And wow, how tremendous it is that he is doing this great work of obedience. And God set it up that way. But actually, God could take any point of history in a believer's life, in someone who is saved, in a person who is justified by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and ask the question, was not, let's use a person, I'll just pick a name as an example, was not Mary justified by works when she took out the trash? Was not Mary justified by works when she was doing the laundry? And immediately we stop and we say, that's ridiculous. Taking the trash out cannot justify anyone. Doing laundry cannot justify anyone. Was not Mary justified by works when she did the dishes? And you see, if I pick a particular routine thing that humans do, or that women do, and phrase the question in those terms, immediately you think, those works could not justify her? Absolutely not. And it's true, but what if Mary was a child of God? What if Mary is a true believer? Then she's justified by the work of Christ and is a true statement. Was Mary justified when she did the dishes? Yes, by the work of Christ, not by the work of doing the dishes. Was not Mary justified when she took the trash out? Yes, by the work of Christ, not the work of taking the trash. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Yes, by the work of Christ, not by the work of offering Isaac. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he saddled his ass that morning? Yes, by the work of Christ, not by the work of Abraham himself. And I'm sorry, I know how the Bible is written. I know that it's very easy to get the wrong idea regarding these statements, and God wrote it, not me. God wrote it, and so if Mr. Wissam or others do not accept this, if they do not realize that an individual cannot be justified by works, and going against the clear statements of Scripture in Galatians 2:16, in Galatians 3:10-11, and in Romans 4, verse 2, and in other places, the Bible teaches in no way can any man be justified by the keeping of the law. And this is an explanation that gives harmony, that now we understand how it can be said. And I would just encourage you to keep studying the Bible. Now, another verse that Mr. Wissam went to was Matthew 16 and verse 27. And it's interesting, and I just have to take note of this, because I remember Mr. Wissam, I think in our first discussion, pointing to verse 28 and using that as a text that the Bible was false. The Bible is false. But now he goes to the previous verse in order to prove his point, in order to prove a particular doctrine that he cherishes, that he likes, that he approves of, and it really is beyond me. It amazes me how verse 27 can be true, according to Mr. Wissam, but verse 28, false. But I just can't understand how you can pick apart the Bible in such a manner. And by the way, may I give a very serious warning to everyone, to all of us, and I'm just really relaying what God himself has said in Revelation 22, verse 18. It says, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. And that's a reference to the whole Bible. It's not heareth the prophecies of that come out of the mouth of Jesus himself personally alone. It is the prophecies of this book, Genesis through Revelation, all 66 books, including the writings of St. Paul, the writings of Moses, the writings of Daniel, etc. And here is what God warns. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now, it is an extremely dangerous thing to disregard whole sections, whole portions, whole books of the Bible by writing it off and calling it Paul's writings, and so I don't have to pay attention to it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is the Word of God. And if we obey the Old Testament as the Jews, well, then we're going to come under the judgment of God. If we obey just portions of the Bible, well, God is very clear, you'll come under the judgment of God. It's the whole book, the whole Bible that is the authority, that is the Word of God. And in Matthew 16, verse 27, it says, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." And, it, you know, this on the day of judgment, on the day of judgment, Jesus is seated upon the throne. God is a just God. He's a fair God. He gives everyone a fair trial. Come before me. And we read in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. God is waiting. He's waiting for that day. And now, everyone, come before me, and let's open the books, and let's see how you've lived your life. Have you kept the law perfectly? If that is your entrance, you think, into heaven, then you must keep it perfectly, without error. You cannot fail in one point. James chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." Please, please be
Mr. Chris, are you here? Mr. Chris, are you here? Mr. Chris, are you here? If you are here, I can't read. Mr. Chris, are you here? Stop the time, please, guys. Stop the time, please. Mr. Chris, are you here? No, I think he got disconnected. I didn't see. I don't know. Can you hear me? You can hear me, I can't please. He's still in the room, but he's still in the room. I see him in the room. Okay, Mr. Chris, if you heard me, take the mic, please. Bounce him and bring him back, please. Bounce him and bring him back. Bounce him and bring him back, please. Edmund? Okay. I will invite him again. Pick him and bounce him first. And bounce him first. And bounce him. And bounce him so I can invite him, please. Did you come back? Is he here? Mr. Chris, are you here? No? Not yet? Did you invite him again? Okay. I sent him four invitations, not one and three, four. Keep trying. I keep inviting him, I don't know. Keep inviting him. Again, maybe six, 7 times now. Keep inviting him. I know what's going on. I have no idea. Why he's not coming back? I don't know. No, he's online. He's still online. So I'm only in him until him. I don't know, Ashi Kareem. I have no idea. I don't know why he's not coming back. Okay, he just... No, okay. Now he's offline. He went offline now. Now we went offline. We have 8:55 seconds, okay. Right. Now he's online. Online. He came back. He's online now. He's not in the room yet. Okay. One more time. I invite him maybe 10 times, Akhil Kareem. Maybe 10 times. He's offline now. Allah make it 10 times. He's offline now. Offline. I don't know what's coming back or not. He will. He will wait a few minutes until he comes back. We'll stop the time and we'll wait until he comes back. That's fine. He will wait until he comes back. Yeah, he's a very good person. Yes, he is. He's a nice man. I would like the Coptic to learn it from him, to be of life. I wish the Coptic to learn it from him. يعني, let me say something in Arabic for the Coptics. تعلموا الأدب للناس. تعلموا الاحترام والأدب. It's for the Coptics here. تعلموا الأدب والاحترام. I would like the Coptic to learn how to behave in a good manner from this brother. So I found out basically the Christian non-Arab Christians, they have a good manners. Majority of them, not like the Arab Christians.
There is no comparison between the Western Christians and the Arab Christians. There is no comparison. Especially the Coptic. يعني ريت التي ترنسلت ريت المسائل العرب خاصة الأخبار تعلم الأدب والأخلاق الراجل المسيح الغير مصري الغير عربي ده يعني المسيحيين الغرب مؤدبين جدا محترمين معظمهم عن مسيحي الشرق وخاصة الأخبار ما في زي الأخبار طبعا في زي الأخبار أبدا تربية شنودة أصلا ما تربية شنودة يا أخي تربية شنودة they learn from the best Shinuda. Okay, he's not here yet. Still offline? I don't know what you want to do, guys. You wait a few minutes more. If he didn't come, I finish the debate and that's it. I think so. From the Iraq, what do you say, Sonji? We wait a little bit, we can wait a little bit. Online now? Okay, good. Let me invite him. Yes, he's online, man. He's online. He's not here yet. I invite him. He is offline again. I think we have cut about the virus. I think so. لا فيهم راجل يناظر وما أي راجل أجنبي يناظر يبعث له فيروس بس هم شو راجل يناظر وما فيه راجل غربي يناظر يبعث له فيروس الشيم الشيم والله العظيم الشيم الكوبتس there is no man Coptic man can debate and when none Coptic debate they send him virus سبحان الله ثورة أي الله جبناء لأخبات الجبناء ما حد فيهم يناظر وما يجي واحد غربي يناظر يبعث له فيروس سبحان الله جبن فظيع he's not here yet we're gonna wait a few minutes more if you didn't show up and didn't assume you that's it يعني ننتظر خمس دقايق لو ما جاش خلاص that's it I will say what I have to say and that's it 5 minutes more we're gonna wait 5 minutes more We waiting, how long we waiting now? More than 10 minutes we waiting now. How long we waiting? 10 minutes? Maybe 15 minutes. I think more than 10 minutes now we waiting. So, 5 minutes more if you didn't come, if you didn't show up and this is. يعني احنا متبرين بقى عطر بقى لما داش خمس دقايق شغال خلاص. I will say that I have to say and this is. I think somebody is giving virus, Coptic or something, Christian Coptic. It must be. If any one of you would like to debate is Jesus God or is the Bible word of God is crucifixion, fact or fiction, let us know after the debate. Let us know after the debate. If you have studying the Bible, you have like PhD, you have master degree in the Bible or divinity of Jesus Christ, anything like that. If you have قادر على المناظرة أو هي في المسيح أو الجزاء والصل. بعد المناظرة رأيت أولاً okay 4 minutes more we wait 4 minutes more and that's it I guess he's offline right now okay 4 minutes more the 4 دقائق كمان يا إخوان 4 minutes more we're still waiting for him we're waiting for the debater he's offline right now احنا منتظرين المناظر هو يعني خارج أفلاين just here for a few minutes please 4 minutes more count down صدر معلش 4 دقايق كمان 4 minutes more 3 minutes more 3 minutes more 3 دقايق كمان يكون 3 minutes more احنا منتظر الوقت بقالنا 15 دقيقة we waiting almost for 15 minutes for me Just 3 minutes more. So let's go ahead and ask one. Yeah, now. عاوزين نعرف للناس يا اخي الكريم. عاوزين نشوف المناظرة اللي بعدها يا فندم. I can't wait for the second debate, inshallah. عظيم، مش عظيم معصر، عظيم منتظر، منتظر المناظرة اللي بعدها ان شاء الله. كانت دار كانت دار 2 minutes دلوقتي، 2 minutes more، 2 minutes more، 2 minutes more. نعم، لو في حد عاوز يناظر ممكن يناظر الآن، ممكن يناظر. If anybody wanna debate, yes I can debate him. We did great, half an hour and we debate. We have another debate. هناك يا فندي، لو في حد عاوز يناظر انتظر نص ساعة وناظر تاني. If anyone would like to debate Jesus God or the Bible, word of God or the crucifixion or anything like that, we can have a debate. It's great, half an hour and we have another debate. ما في مشكلة إن شاء الله. نتبيع، we have 1 minute more. هي كمان. If you didn't come in 1 minute, I'm gonna say what I have to say and that's it. لما تدخل الدنيا أنا أكمل وخلاص. Yes, I know. I don't think it's coming back. Just wait 1 minute more. اللهم آمين رب العالمين. Okay, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I will start right now. My 20 minutes. And I would like everybody to pay attention what I have to say. Again, as you heard, get ready, stop right now. As everybody heard, I asked him very clear question. I told him, I would like you to give a verse from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Jesus said that he got in heaven through faith, not deeds, not works. But he just put from the mouth of Sanders. He did not put anything from Jesus Christ. All the statements he quotes for more than 1 hour, a statement of St. Paul. I would like everybody to pay attention to me. Listen what St. Paul himself talking about himself. What he say about himself. In the first letter of Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 25, he says, in the letter of Sergei, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. Very clear. From the mouth of Paul, he said, I do not have any commandment from God Almighty. Yet I give my judgment. Now I would like to ask any Christian in the room. Now, Paul admits, what he said is not the word of God. It's his own judgment. If the judgment of Paul is the word of God, 1-2. The first law of Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 4, 7, 4. But she is heavier if she so abide. After my judgment is not the word of God. It's all judgment. It's not the word of God. So, in the first letter of Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 12, 7, 12. But either speak I, not the Lord. I, not the Lord. Paul said, this is my own opinion. It's not the word of God. I speak on behalf of myself, not on behalf of God Almighty. Very clear. Now, second letter for Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 17. When I talk as continent doctor, I am not talking with the Lord authority, but like a fool, God Almighty. I am not talking with the Lord authority. I'm talking as a fool. I am not talking with the Lord authority. I'm talking as a fool. Is this the word of God? Now, 1 hour, every single statement, he quotes from Paul, and Paul admits, and he says, whatever I say is not the word of God Almighty, it's my own judgment. I speak, not the Lord, on my behalf, not on the behalf of God Almighty. I ask him, give me 1 verse, from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, we're going to heaven, through faith without deeds, without works. But he only put they don't want torture. Now, I said just at the beginning of the book about Paul, he keeps both emphasis in blood. He keeps both emphasis in blood. Because, as I said, the theory of crucifixion is actually a theory by Paul, not by Jesus Christ. This crucifixion thing is a theory, a hoax, made out by Paul, that is going to happen through the blood of Jesus Christ. In the book of Romans, chapter 3:25, when God offers as a grace, way of atonement, by Christ's blood, by Christ's blood. Now I'm telling us, it's going to happen only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, as I said before, you will find out this in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9:22, Hebrews 9:22, it says, and almost all things are by the Lord, very good blood, and without shedding of the blood, there is no remission. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. And he said clearly, almost all things, by the Lord, very good blood. This statement is not accurate as a false statement. But the author of the letter of Hebrews is unknown. There is agreement by all the Christian scholars that the book of Hebrews, the author, the writer, is unknown. Second, those of the unknown authors say, without saying of the blood, there is no remission. It's not accurate. It's not true. Why? As you read over here in the Bible, in Leviticus, chapter 5:11, you find out that if he be not able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he that same shall bring for his offering the tenth part of a leaf of fine flour for a sin offering, a sin offering. A sin offering. Redeem your sins. Remove your sins by that offering. Blood. Leviticus 5:15. And the priest shall make an atonement for him as touching his sin, that he has sinned, is one of these. And it shall be forgiven him. Forgiven him. By that offering, blood. God will forgive him. No need for blood. Second, he can also have removing of your sin, an atonement for your sin, by offering the money. By offering the money. Exodus chapter 30, verse 15, 16. The rich shall not give more, and the rich shall not give less than a half a shekel, when they give an offering unto the Lord, to make an atonement for your souls. Only by offering money. You don't need, no need for shedding of the blood. No need for shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. No need for it. Crucifixion is fiction, it's not fact. In the book of Numbers, chapter 51:50, we have the river brought on for the chain, bracelets, ringlets, earrings, and tablets to make an atonement for our soul before the Lord. To make an atonement for our soul before the Lord. Only by giving jewelry alone, by giving jewelry, God Almighty can forgive your sin. No need for shaving of the blood. So first, one, the statement, the author is unknown, nobody knows the author of the book of Hebrews. Second, the statement is inaccurate. And the Christianity, the whole religion, depends on this statement. Without shaving of the blood, there is no remission, there is no forgiveness. But as I mentioned to you, yes, you can have atonement for your sin by offering flour, by offering money, by offering jewelry, by offering flour, Leviticus 5:11, 5:12, 5:13, by offering money, Exodus chapter 20, verse 15 to 16, by offering jewelry. Numbers chapter 31, verse 50. You know, we're going back from there between the victim of Jesus Christ and the tension of Paul. And they said, Paul entered over here, denying that there is nobody, everybody is a sinner, we're born with sinners. Nobody is perfect, but this is not true. Not afraid. In the book of Job, chapter 2, verse, chapter 1, verse 8, John 1, 8. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect, perfect, and upright man, and that fears God, and what that fears God. God Almighty himself, God Almighty himself testified that John is perfect and upright. Now, also in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 6, 1-6, about Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. And they were both righteous, righteous, before God, walking in all commandments and ordained of the Lord, blameless, blameless, no sin, perfect. No, there are not sinners. Now, we're going back to the teaching of St. Paul and the teaching of Jesus Christ, relating to, are we going to heaven? But by all our deeds, our actions, our words, or all of our faith. Now, let's go back to St. Paul. In Galatians chapter 9:16, Galatians 9, I'm sorry, Galatians 2:16, Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. A man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. No works, only the faith of Jesus Christ. Again, in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 24, he being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption, that is still in Christ Jesus. Redemption, that Jesus Christ overcame the cross, these are hopes by St. Paul. Again, he emphasized about the blood of Jesus Christ. And the book of Romans, chapter 3, 25, on that over, as a place, who were atonement by Christ's blood. But to the heaven through his face alone, face alone. A book of the day of saying through his face. Okay. Now, in the book of Romans, chapter 3:28, Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law, without the deeds of the law. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 8, I would like to remind your attention, Habakkuk 2, 20, 2, 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God Almighty. Not of works, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I would like to go back to Jesus Christ, what Jesus is teaching about how we can obtain salvation. How we can obtain salvation. How we going to have eternal life from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, in the book of Matthew, chapter 5:20, Matthew 5:20, it says, for I tell you, unless your righteousness greatly exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You will never enter. Your righteousness, your good deeds, your works, you will never enter to the kingdom of heaven. Now, in the book of Matthew, chapter 7:1, judge enough that you be not a judge. But with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what mission you need, it shall be measured to you again. Whatever you do in your life, friends, whatever you work with, it comes back to you in the way of that. Matthew 19:16, and the old man came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why thou come in death? There is none good but one, he is God. But Israel, when went enter into the light, keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. These workers. And Luke chapter 10:25, and behold a certain lawyer stood up and tempted to him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How will it be judged? And he answered him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and with all thy neighbors and thy neighbors as himself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live by good deeds, good actions. Do it, you will go to heaven. Now, in the book of James, chapter 2:14, it says, what does it profit, my brethren, that a man say he has faith and have not workers, can they save them? No, cannot. Cannot save them. In the book of James 2:14 says, James 2:14, what God does is good, my brothers. If someone claims to have faith but does not have any works, this kind of faith cannot save him. This kind of faith cannot save him. I will let you go back to what St. Paul says, that it is only faith without works. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works. And James said again, James chapter 2:14, it says, what good that is to my brother if someone claims to have faith but does not have any works? This kind of faith cannot save him. Same thing Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 5:29, about the next day, the day of judgment, and shall come forth they that have done unto the resurrection of life. Again, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Jesus said, in the last day, in the day of judgment, everybody who made account according to his deeds, his mercy, what he did in his life on earth. If he did good, you will go to heaven. If you have good mercy, you go to heaven. If you have bad mercy, you're going to win fire. But, again, Paul says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2:9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I would like you to listen to this. Paul says in the book of Romans 4:2, for Abraham was justified by works, he has won us to glory, but not before God. If Abraham did not justify by works. Listen now, in the book of James, chapter 2:22, James 2:21, was not Abraham our father justified by works? Paul said that our father Abraham did not justify by works, Jim said, our father is the largest present was. Which one would be? Well, it's very clear. For everyone, take the debate that the teaching of Paul is not the teaching of Jesus Christ. We have a dilemma in the Bible, in the gospel. We have two opposite religions. The religion of Jesus Christ, who took us. You go to heaven by good deeds, by good works. And the religion of some form, it said, not works, only by faith. I would like to ask you a question. Which one you have to follow? The religion of Jesus Christ or the religion of God? Very clear. And now, as David talked about, we come to heaven through deeds, through works, as Jesus told us. It means for fiction, it's fiction, no need for it. Jesus could not die on the cross. There is no need for blood of Jesus Christ. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ali Bunji, take the mic. And now, I'm going out of the back as admin. And inshallah, I'll take over the back of everybody. And if anyone would like to debate, is Jesus God, is the Bible word of God, is crucifixion, fact of fiction, and so on and so forth, let us know. Michael J. Bunji. الخروج المنظر الأخير خليكم معنا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Can everybody hear me? Listen over here, listen over here, listen over here. Listen over here. One telling us that the actual faith is not a blind faith. Somebody read on the text. You have to have the spirit. Look. They have a blind faith. It's a blind faith. You don't have it. You have to have the spirit. It's blind faith. Iman a'ma. You cannot understand that the spirit is blind faith. Iman a'ma. La tatata an tatata bidun Allah al-Qudus. Let the people who were shooting the cows. Like the people who were shooting the cows. The cow is God. That's it. You have to have the Holy Spirit to accept the cow is God. You have to have the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot accept the cow itself. يعني هو بيقول لك لازم يكون عندك روح القدس والإيمان. بدون الإيمان لا تستطيع الفهم. بدون الإيمان لا تستطيع الفهم. الثاني في السنة has something to say. Raise your hand and it's away from you. It's bad talk, not bad talk. Bad talk. So, take the mic and say whatever you want to say. On mic. On mic. اللي المسيح عنده أي شيء حمد أمك 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 جناب بانكس أمك. طيب السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. طيب السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حيا الله جبا جميع حياكم الله وبركاته جعل الجنة مأسونا مزيد. If anybody speak English over here and he would like to participate, write 3. Anyone speak English here in non-Arab Christians? Is any non-Arab Christian here? Is any non-Arab Christian right free? Is any non-Arab Christian would like to pick the mic? Is any non-Arab Christian would like to pick the mic? No. Why must we use the mic? Because to be honest with you, we don't respect to you. As a Christian Arab are cowards, and they do not like to use the mic. That's why. I'll be honest with you, they are cowards. They are chicken, they don't want to use the mic. This bad talk, not bad pitch. Last time you can say for mic. Last bottle for my hat, not a subdivision mic. Fellow under shit, all on mic. Yeah, cook from Paul. Everybody cook from Paul. Yeah, from Paul. Yes, nobody cook from your dealer's face. And if you can look at how to anybody who cooks, every statement I said, I quote him from what Jesus said. He will not say also, he can only say. And every statement he said, he quote him from what? From what? From God. The Hassan, كل مسلم وسام كلام مين؟ كلام يسوع، كل مسلم. هو كلام مين؟ كلام بولس. It's very clear. There is two opposite ways. في عندنا اتجاهين في الكتاب المقدس. Two directions. One by Jesus Christ, I want to send proof. Ittiqa' an tariq Yasu' wa ittiqa' an tariq mean proof. Jesus says that by faith, by works, but Paul says by faith alone. Yasu' yaqul an tariq al-amal, wa Jesus yaqul an tariq al-amal. That's why I'm saying, Christian is made up by faith. ولذلك أقول الفداء والصلب معمولة اللي عملها اللي فبريكها بولس. Somebody thinking from goodness. Rejoice in goodness. Who is the author of goodness? Take the mic, tell me who is the author of goodness. Take the mic, the author is unknown. The author is unknown. God did not write anything. في أي مسيح عربي عند استعداد المناظرة؟ هل هناك مسيح عربي عند استعداد المناظرة؟ المؤلف مجهول يا أخي، مجهول. The author is unknown. المؤلف مجهول. النصارى استعدوا سلسلة الرد على يسوع نفسه. يسوع كما وصف الكتاب المقدس ترجع السلسلة من غدا إن شاء الله. كنا بالرد على يهوذا اللي وقت الرد على يسوع كما وصف الكتاب المقدس. المحاضرة الأولى تبدأ غدا إن شاء الله الساعة 10:00 مساء إن شاء الله.